might prosper under thy hand. Lord, we would pray for each individual church in our denomination, for our members. Lord, we would ask that you especially give us wisdom this morning as we begin to tackle the problems of our denomination, the opportunities of our denomination. Lord, give us a vision that we might see the road ahead as you would lead us. Forgive us of our sins, merciful Father, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I understand informally that there are no minutes of the previous session to be brought to our attention at this time. Is that correct, Mr. Clark? No minutes at this time. Oh, you do? Well, may we hear what you have, sir? How about using mic four?
The Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, meeting on the campus of Calvin College, Grand Rapids, Michigan, hosted by the Christian Reformed Church of America, was called to order at 1:30 p.m., June 19, 1978, by the moderator, Mr. John T. Clark, who led the assembly in an opening prayer, after which the assembly engaged in a season of prayer. Moderator Clark preached the retiring moderator's sermon from Luke 12:32, and the Reverend Donald R. Estey and the Reverend Mr. Todd Allen conducted the communion service with the assistance of elders from each of the presbyteries. The stated clerk announced that a quorum was present, and the final enrollment of commissioners will be recorded at this point in the minutes. The following were nominated for the office of moderator: the Reverend Fred E. Manning, Jr., the Reverend William T. Iverson, the Reverend James E. Moore, the Reverend G. Aiken Taylor. The Reverend G. Aiken Taylor was elected. The Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries was excused from the assembly to finish its report. On nomination by the stated clerk, the following recording clerks were elected: Reverend Edwin P. Elliott, Jr., Covenant Presbytery, recording clerk; Ruling Elder Walter Lastavica, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, timing clerk; Mr. James B. Jordan, assistant recording clerk. At this point, we list the assistant clerks nominated by the presbyteries. The stated clerk presented the proposed docket, which was amended and adopted. That will be inserted at this point. Ruling Elder W. Jack Williamson presented Resolution 1, which was referred to the Committee on Judicial Business. The Reverend Gerard Boomer welcomed the assembly to Calvin College. The retiring moderator made an oral report to the assembly. The stated clerk explained that the following items of business had already been referred to the Committee of Commissioners as indicated. In addition, Overture 35 from Pacific Presbytery was received late and was referred by the Assembly to the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the U.S. A partial report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration was presented by Mr. Michael Bolus. The proposal, as he read it, was adopted. A partial report of the Committee on Commissioners on Judicial Business was presented by the Reverend Mr. Richard Fraser. Both recommendations, as distributed, were adopted. The Reverend Wharton Smith introduced the handbook and the formal procedures to be used for the business of the Assembly. Mr. W. Jack Williamson spoke on the philosophy of government of the Presbyterian Church. The assembly was recessed at 4:30 p.m. with prayer by the Reverend Mr. Aiken Taylor.
You have heard the reading of the minutes. What is your pleasure? Who is that? All right, sir. Been moved. Was the hand second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any corrections or additions? All opposed say no. Is there any routine matter that might be taken up as we allow a minute or two for additional commissioners to come in before the presentation? Mr. Clerk, do you know of any routine matter that might be taken up just to give us a minute or two? Is Mickey Bolus here? Where? Mickey was ready with the rest of his report, and it was routine. Oh, all right. I'm just trying to get as large a congregation as possible for our presentation for the mission to the world.
Mr. Moderator, there is one thing that I wanted to see Mr. Bolus about, but I'm sure it'll be all right. Mr. Williamson has been consulting with me about the matter of being sure that we get a good hearing on our budgets and our funding situation this year, and that it would be perhaps advisable to set as a special order Committee on Administration immediately following Christian Education on Thursday, whenever that comes. In other words, Christian Education has the first order of the day and moves right into their report, and administration could be picked up immediately after that, either in the morning or if Christian Education should run into the afternoon, let administration come right after that. Mr. Moderator, I would move, sir, that we amend the docket to make administration a special order immediately following Christian Education on Thursday.
The motion has been moved. It's been properly seconded. The motion that administration be made a special order immediately following special order on Christian Education on Thursday. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It will be done. Anything else, Mr. Clerk?
I'm not prepared with anything else at this time, sir.
Microphone 11.
I do not know whether or not Mr. Fraser is here, who is the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business, but as I understand from our meeting last night, we will need to present another partial report of our committee this morning, another thing that must come before the Assembly before we can complete our action on the committee. I hesitate to move it since he's not here at this point, but we might dock it again, the partial report of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business.
Thank you very much, sir. I really was not seeking a report as much as I was seeking something rather routine or that would just occupy a few minutes of our time. Mr. Clerk, did you have some reason to seek the mic?
No, sir.
Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, is a resolution in order at this time?
Yes, a resolution is in order.
Right. Robert Miller.
Do you have it written out?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Robert Miller, New River Presbytery.
Yes, sir.
The resolution is, whereas it is incumbent upon us to be faithful stewards of the money which God entrusts to us, and whereas many colleges actively seek to schedule large conferences as a means of utilizing their facilities during the summer months, and whereas the use of such college facilities proves both practical and economical, therefore be it resolved that the Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America instruct the Permanent Committee on Administration to seek out such facilities and the support of local churches in hosting those meetings of the General Assembly after 1980.
You've heard the report. This would be proper for reference to the Committee on Administration, I believe.
Yes, you need again that motion. Will the Assembly accept it? And
yes.
Then if so, then to refer it.
Yes. It would be to the Committee on Administration.
Administration.
All right. If the Assembly is willing to accept this report and refer to the Committee on Administration for report later, that would be a motion. It has been moved over here. Second. Second. Do you want to discuss it? Without objection, it is referred to the Committee on Administration for a report later. Anything else that might be considered routine?
Mr. Moderator, I do not have a formal request, but I was talking to Mr. Fraser, the chairman of the Judicial Business Committee, and I believe they're going to want to be excused this morning. That would take an action of the Assembly to allow them to be excused immediately as the program, Mission of the World program, comes on, I believe, is when they want to be excused.
Do they have to go before this special presentation?
I think they want to go right away. I believe that's their desire. Is anybody on that committee that is here that wants to? Yes. Was it your desire to be excused immediately?
If you want to be heard, get to a mic. Microphone 11.
When we adjourned last night, there had been no decision made as to what time we would meet today.
Right.
So as far as what the committee wants to do, the state clerk knows more than the members of the committee.
Perhaps we ought to wait until they get here, sir.
I believe we have disposed of as much trivia as we can handle, and a good proportion of our commissioners are present. I believe we can proceed with a special presentation in behalf of Mission to the World. Who will do the honors? You have that. In the darkness, you probably should introduce yourself.
Mr. Moderator, I'm L.B. Austin III, Pete Austin, a ruling elder from the First Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee Valley Presbytery, this year's chairman of the Committee on Mission to the World. Could I ask the assembly to join me in prayer as we begin this presentation? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you in humble adoration and submission. We realize that the Great Commission to go into all the world is not of our invention, but it is of thine. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that when our Lord Jesus Christ gave us that commission, that he wrapped it in his own power and in his own presence. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the worldwide vision and the worldwide ministry of this little denomination, we want to acknowledge you as the head of the church, as the giver of the commission, and as the one in whose name and in whose power and in whose presence we go. We ask you, Father, for the blessing of your power and your presence this morning as we hear the report of what you've been doing through these churches and these presbyteries and this assembly. We ask you to guide us as we speak to this assembly, and to be in the hearts and minds of each one who might hear this presentation, that our heart will beat as one with yours, Father, that we'll know clearly what it is you would have us to do and what part you would have us to play in your worldwide task of bringing men and women to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we commit this time to you and ask you to glorify yourself in it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gentlemen, we'll hear from three speakers in this hour as we present the work of Mission to the World to you. The first speaker you'll hear will be Kennedy Smart. And Kennedy will talk about what we're doing in Mission to the World. Then you'll hear from Paul McCoyne. Paul will talk about where we're headed in Mission to the World. And then you'll hear from Jimmy Lyons, and Jimmy will talk about how we go about getting the job done. The first speaker will be Kennedy Smart. Many of you know Kennedy well, but some of you may not. So let me just give you a brief word about this man from whom you'll hear in just a moment. Kennedy Smart is as old as the PCA itself, and some of you would say he's a lot older. But Kennedy was one of the Christian statesmen who, with many others who have been before you and will be before you, has been in on the formation of our denomination since before its inception. Kennedy now holds the position as a full-time staff member of the Committee on Mission to the World. His title is Coordinator of Church Relations. That makes him the number two man on our staff. But it's Kennedy who has also been a member of the Committee on Mission to the World. The committee has at one time in its history elected him as chairman of its committee. And prior to his present position as coordinator of church relations, Kennedy pastored for many years the West End Presbyterian Church in Hopewell, Virginia. And so we've asked Kennedy Smart to come to you and present to you what Mission to the World is doing today. Kennedy Smart.
Mission to the World. The Foreign Missions Arm of the Presbyterian Church in America presents a 30-minute tour of what the PCA is doing in the world. Your narrator will be the coordinator of church relations for Mission to the World. Thank you.
I'm Kennedy Smart, coordinator of church relations for Mission to the World. Perhaps you've wondered where in the world is the Presbyterian Church in America. Would you really like to know? Then come with me and I'll show you. Let's visit our Mission to the World. We'll start at the office in Decatur, Georgia. Meet Paul McCoyne, our coordinator. He spends about half his time overseas working with our missionaries in the field, so we are fortunate to catch him in. We'll see him again later. Meet John McDavid, our financial secretary, and Jim Hughes, director of personnel. And to put a face with the voice we hear on the telephone most often, here is Alan McLean, our itineration secretary. Now, fasten your seatbelts. We're off to guess where. How about that? You guessed it. But we won't stay in Paris. Our destination is southern France, near Marseille, to Aix-en-Provence, where there is a Reformed and Conservative seminary where Dr. Peter Jones is teaching. Peter is a PCA missionary and will be joined soon by the Reverend Bill Edgar, recent graduate of Westminster Seminary. Meet Peter's family. His wife Becky is the daughter of Dr. and Mrs. Edmund Clowney of Westminster Seminary. But we have no time to tarry. Close your eyes and open them again, and here we are in Grenoble, France, where PCA missionaries Doug and Ann Miller from Augusta, Georgia, are working in evangelism and church renewal. And look who's here. I told you we'd meet him again. There's our coordinator, Paul McCoyne, flanked by PCA missionaries Jim and Debbie Jones, with Ann Miller and the children. Jim and Debbie are also involved in evangelism and church renewal, and they hail from the Edgemont Church in Bristol, Tennessee. The ministry of the Joneses and Millers is under the direction of PCA missionary Eugene Boyer. Now close your eyes again and open them and meet George and Linda Hutchinson with son John. George teaches at the German Theological Seminary in Zeeheim, Germany, and has just recently completed his work toward a doctorate at Oxford. From Germany, we travel across Austria, Italy, and Albania to Athens, Greece. Here, Van and Alice Rustling, PCA missionaries from Jackson's First Church, have come to administer the Bible Institute sponsored by the Greater Europe Mission. Our next stop is Jordan to visit Nurse Jean Lappin, PCA missionary on loan to the World Presbyterian Mission. Jean is a member of the Eau Claire Church in Columbia, South Carolina. The ministry of this hospital at Mafraq, Jordan, is a difficult but very challenging one, since nearly all the patients are Muslims. They are happy to accept medical aid, but very resistant to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the fine staff ministering here. Now we head west across Africa. Meet the Reverend and Mrs. Sidney Anderson standing in front of this anthill. They recommend we don't try to build our house over one of these. Sid and Louise are on loan to the Christian Reform Foreign Mission Board and are teaching in their school for pastors here among the Tiv people of Nigeria. Sid is the former pastor of the Swannanoa Valley Presbyterian Church of Western Carolina Presbytery. We're not going to have time to visit Grace Berry Brown in Zambia, nor to look in on Brenda Miller, who is teaching missionary children in Ghana. But let's stop in Ivory Coast and say hello to Bud and Susan Frank, members of the PCA in Irvington, Texas, who are working in cooperation with Wycliffe Bible Translators. It would appear that little Elizabeth is an ambassador in her own right. Heading west across the Atlantic, we land in Miami to visit PCA missionary Sue Harville of the Kendall Church, working with World Team. She has been writing and editing discipleship and leadership training materials for World Team, but in the next few months will be moving to France to participate in church renewal with the PCA team there. From Miami, we travel on to Haiti. And in Port-au-Prince, we find PCA missionary Ed Smith of Macon's First Church working with World Team on a special communications project. From Port-au-Prince, we head up through the hills to meet Ray and Kathy Smith of Chattanooga's First Church. Ray is an administrator with World Team in Haiti, and Kathy is a physical therapist working in the orthopedic clinic at the hospital at Okai. Another PCA missionary couple working here at Okai are Charles and Suzanne Martin. And would you look who has grown a beard? Aren't you glad it's not Suzanne? She grew up in Haiti, but Charles is from the Brandon, Mississippi church. We have one more PCA missionary assigned to World Team, and that's Jean Rock, working in the village down there in the clearing. And that, by the way, is Suriname, a small developing nation on the north shore of South America, formerly known as Dutch Guiana. Jean is a member of the Granada Church of Carl Gables and works with these beautiful Indians in a very primitive situation. What a wonderful privilege to be able to work with other missions like World Team in order to be involved in a ministry like this and those we saw in Haiti. Close your eyes again and then open them on Rio de Janeiro, Brazil's combination New York and Miami. A beautiful tropical city of 8 million, Rio is one of the neediest places in the world, spiritually speaking. This unbelievably crowded city and its resort area, Copacabana, constitute the target of the PCA's church planting team. These four fellows will be seeking to start not one but several churches in Copacabana from which a presbytery can be formed. Pray for the doors to be opened and visas to be granted for these young men with their families to enter that field. On the left is Paul Long, who grew up in Brazil of missionary parents. Next to him are Glenn and Francis Kaminish, both of whom also grew up in Brazil, and their children. Clay and Darlene Quarterman are next, and he is from Jackson's First Church, and she from the West Hopewell Church in Hopewell, Virginia. Finally, on the right are Hank and Linda Gunlock with their children. They are from the Chapelgate Church in Baltimore. But Brazil is not all big cities and high-rise apartments. Back in the bush, there are fierce-looking Indian tribes. And who do you think is the PCA missionary working with these Indians through Wycliffe Bible translators? It's Mickey Stout. And believe me, she's led a lot of them into the circle of God's love. While we are here in the interior, you construction types will appreciate PCA missionary Don Williams. Don is on loan to Wycliffe and is involved in any and every kind of construction that needs to be done. You name it, he does it. He could use your help, too. Those who will help can stay behind here, and the rest of us will board this light plane and take off across the trackless jungle. Did you ever do that? It's kind of hairy, isn't it? But not to our pilot, PCA missionary Don Gehagen, who is a pilot assigned to South America Mission. Don and his family are from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he not only flies, but serves as the pastor of an English-speaking church down there in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where we'll be landing in just a moment. We have come here to visit a bookstore, and there it is. There's PCA missionary Dale Linton, and he doesn't wait for his customers to come inside to him, does he? He's right out here on the street with them, and not just to sell books, but to share Christ. Step inside and meet Ann Linton from back home in Brookhaven, Mississippi. You know, this ministry sold over 300 Bibles this past February alone, and no telling how many Christian books. From Bolivia, we fly over to Peru, where we'll land on the river near Wycliffe Base at Yarinacocha, where PCA missionary Betty Baldwin is the librarian at the School for Missionary Children. In her spare time, Betty, who is from the St. Paul's Church in Jackson, loves to work with the Indian children who live near the base. But while the sun is still shining, we want to get on to Quito. Flying up the Andes range, you see some of the most beautiful mountains in the world. And coming into Quito, which is 9,000 feet above sea level, is absolutely breathtaking. Here meet PCA missionaries David and Marilyn Hamilton, leaders of the PCA church planting team in Quito, Ecuador. To be joining the Hamilton soon are Woody and Debbie Woodham from the Smyrna Church in Smyrna, Georgia. Most of our PCA missionaries in Ecuador are working under a cooperative agreement with World Radio Missionary Fellowship, more commonly known as Radio HCJB, the Voice of the Andes. PCA missionaries Al and Alice Hatch and the children are from the Covenant Church in Columbia, South Carolina. Al has also been active in Bible studies, which may well provide the nucleus of a PCA-related congregation, in addition to serving as personnel director at HCJB. Paige Weaver, a respiratory therapist from Macon's First Church, will be coming to work in HCJB's medical ministry in Quito, as will Larry McCarty of Picayune, Mississippi, who is a physical therapist. Kenton and Karen Wood will be working for the radio station. She is a vocalist, and he is a youth worker in the city of Quito. Leaving Quito, we fly over the Andes Mountains and down into the jungle of a Wycliffe base known as Limoncocha, famous for its contacts with the Alca Indians. Down there in the clearing in that L-shaped home live PCA missionaries Dave and Gwen Brooks from Chattanooga's First Church. Dave and Gwen tell and show the love of Christ by teaching the Indians how to feed their families and tribes by raising beef cattle and preparing their own grits, well, maybe. Up above Ecuador is Colombia, the center for the Wycliffe work both in Colombia and Panama. The base here is Loma Linda, and our PCA missionaries are Jim and Mary Alice Patterson. Jim is the son of Pastor and Mrs. Don Patterson of Jackson's First Church, and Mary Alice is from the Water Valley, Mississippi Church. They are involved in administration and teaching. Our next stop is El Salvador to greet Jose and Pam Martinez of Grace Presbytery. Jose and Pam were working in Nicaragua, but violence in that country and several attempts on their lives forced their evacuation to El Salvador, where they are now working in a church planting ministry in cooperation with the Christian Reform Foreign Mission Board. Jose was born in Cuba and fled to the United States when Castro came to power. In Nicaragua, he was under fire from the left wing because he had fled Cuba, and from the right wing because he was born in Cuba. Then we fly on to Guatemala, a country of steep mountains, spectacular volcanoes, and shattering earthquakes. PCA missionaries Bob and Becky Whitesides from the West End Church in Hopewell, Virginia, have coordinated the rebuilding of Cabulco, a city of 20,000 people. Here in Guatemala City is Mariano Galvez Christian University, and the head of the theology department is PCA missionary Woody Lajara, who is also active as an evangelist in this area. Over at the National University, PCA missionary Hugh Pallison, seen here with his family, is working among students who are steeped in Marxism and fired up for revolution. This new student center will soon be in operation, where Hugh can gather students for evangelism and discipleship. As we come into Mexico, look who's here. Jimmy Lyons, our missionary evangelist, the old Choctaw chief himself. And wouldn't you expect him to be helping this dear old Indian lady with her pottery work? That's just like him. Moving off in the other direction, we come to the rugged area around Chilpancingo. Here, PCA missionaries Andy and Dorcian Toth are working with theological education by extension, which means simply that the school goes to the student rather than have the students come to the school. Just as you would expect, there goes Andy. Dorcian meets with the ladies, and the young people go out into the street to do practical work. I wish we had time to stay, but this service may last all day, and we've got to get to Acapulco to meet PCA missionaries Dick and Ann Dye and their children Roger and Marie. Dick is from Salisbury, North Carolina, and Ann from Montreat. They're working with a brand new group of believers here in Acapulco. which they are leading toward the formation of a new church. Before leaving Acapulco, let's stick our heads in on this children's rally and say Heidi to PCA missionary Ellen Barnett, a member of the church planting team and the daughter of the Reverend and Mrs. Harry Barnett of Coburn, Virginia. Two additions that are headed for the work here are Bill and Martha Goodman, who are in language school in Costa Rica. Bill is from Columbia's Covenant Church and Martha from the First Church in Montgomery. Joe and Rita Creech, 1978 graduates of Reform Seminary and members of Jackson's First Church, have also been approved for service in Mexico and will be starting their itineration in September. Up in the rugged Oaxaca region of Mexico, where the Mixtec Indians earn their livelihood as shepherds, PCA missionaries Ed and Kathy Ferris work with Bible translation, teach the Indians to read, lead them in Bible study, and demonstrate the care and concern of the great physician in a very practical way, all in cooperation with Wycliffe Bible translators. But now, whatever you do in preparation for a long trip, do it. Our next stop is the Western Pacific. Do you know where you are now? Not likely. That's Port Moresby, New Guinea. And would you look who's here? There's Jay Kyle welcoming his dad, John Kyle, Wycliffe's International Relations Coordinator and former MTW Coordinator. Jay and his wife, Maureen, on the right, are our PCA missionaries in New Guinea, serving as house parents and teachers for missionary children. Maureen is from the Pinelands Church in Miami. On the other side of John and Lois Kyle are retired couple Ed and Irene Hendren of the Oak Park Church in Montgomery. When they retired from the military service 2 years ago, they came out here to serve in an administrative capacity. And this Ed is the complete administrator. If you don't believe it, just take a peek at his office and see who's sitting behind the desk with a mop over his shoulder. Over at the other end of New Guinea is an area known as Irian Jaya, a part of Indonesia made famous by Don Richardson's books, Peace Child and the Lords of the Earth. Up in the highlands of Irian Jaya, PCA missionaries Jim and Sue Akavinko with their son Jason will soon be serving with the Jungle Aviation and Radio Service. Also working in this area will be PCA missionaries Ed Travis and Heidi Bowman from the Briarwood Church in Birmingham, working with Wycliffe in Bible translation. Now we travel on from this part of Indonesia to drop in for a visit at Magelang, where we'll find PCA missionaries Paul and Alice Pointer, seen here with two of their three sons. Paul is working with Overseas Missionary Fellowship in the Dutch Reformed Church here, serving as an associate pastor to these two national pastors. The exciting thing about Indonesia is that here Christianity has begun to make its first significant break into the hard shell of Islam. Hopping from Indonesia over to the Philippines, we'll fly into Nasali, the Wycliffe base on Mindanao. This is rugged jungle territory, and here PCA missionary John Rollo is recording Bible portions in native dialects for those who cannot yet read. Through this means, he's been able to gather seekers and believers together to study the Word of God. Oh, by the way, don't leave Nasali without speaking to John's wife, Claudia, and their two precious daughters, Jessica and Tracy. And let's be sure to speak to Celia Barnes and her children, Holly, Ned, and Jim. Celia is from the West End Church in Hopewell, Virginia, and serves as a bookkeeper in the Wycliffe branch in Manila. And meet another retiree. There under that blue bonnet is Miss Rebecca Limley, retired school teacher from Jackson, Mississippi. She isn't satisfied to just teach missionary children during the week, but on Sunday gathers her own native Sunday school together and teaches them the Bible through an interpreter. I don't know of a prettier place to arrive after dark any place in the world than here in Taipei, Taiwan. That's the Grand Hotel on the left and the city straight ahead. we're going to pay a visit to Friendship Church, where PCA missionary Lee Trinkle is pastor. Lee and Kathy were at the Fairfield Church in Pensacola, Florida, before coming to Taiwan. Here's Lee and assistant Don Cavanis with the guitar and one of the nationals. Joe and Beth Farlow work in Friendship Church also. Beth, seen here in green. Joe is a member of the Carolina Presbytery and Beth from the Valley Church in Baltimore. Don Cavanis is seen here leading young adults and singing, and then charms some of the children with a secret he holds in his hand. His sweet wife, Velma, just charms them, period. Through the ministry of Friendship Church, other groups are being gathered together from which Sunday schools and churches will be organized. On a beautiful hill overlooking Taipei stands Christ College. The school was founded by Dr. and Mrs. James Graham, veteran China missionaries. Mrs. Graham went home to be with the Lord this past March. But Dr. Graham carries on with the help of men like PCA missionary David White, who with his wife Barbara are active with the students in their rural and mountain evangelistic work. We'll stop by the faculty meeting at Dr. Graham's home to see Rod and Sherilyn Shore from the Prescott, Arizona Church. They are there across the room. Mrs. Sarah Wright, PCA missionary from Jackson, Mississippi, is yet another retiree doing a great job on the mission field, as is Miss Marion Munger of Raymond, Mississippi. These two ladies are two of the most popular missionaries on the campus. Bill and Lisa Owens from the Columbus, Mississippi First Church are on the faculty of the college, as is Miss Kathy Corin, daughter of Pastor and Mrs. Bob Corin of the Carl Ridge Church. And here is one of the most perennially happy people you'll ever meet, Miss Julie McLean of West Point, Mississippi. Mrs. Beth Hipple, another retired school teacher from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, came out last year and has made a wonderful adjustment to her new ministry. Meet Charlie Sledge of Pensacola's Fairfield Church, who came out earlier this year, and Don Fuderin of the Lake Osborne, Florida Church, who arrived in the spring. We are also looking toward Miss Diane Weisenborn's coming out to work with the church planting ministry in Taipei, and Dr. and Mrs. Bob Youngblood, who will be working with the Asia Theological Association, which is headquartered here in Taipei. The last stop on our tour is one of the most beautiful and yet most abused nations in the world. Korea is a nation of crowded cities, but also many small country hamlets. It is primarily among these thousands of country hamlets that our church planting ministry is directed under the leadership of veteran missionary Hugh Linton and his wife Betty. Betty has a tremendous ministry to the large number of TB patients in Korea and especially around Suncheon. The Lintons' oldest son, David, and his wife, Phyllis, have been appointed by the MTW committee and plan to leave for Korea when their support has been raised. That will make these children the fifth successive missionary generation in Korea. The church planting strategy in Korea is training nationals like these seen here with Hugh Linton, who were trained in seminaries like this one in Seoul, where PCA missionary Young Park is teaching. Young, seen here with his wife Sun, served as the pastor of the Grace Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Let's drive from Seoul to Taejun and meet Bob and Betty Watts, PCA church planting missionaries from Greenville, Alabama and Shreveport, Louisiana, respectively. These twins on their laps were chosen here in Korea. Bob and Betty are standing before their almost completed home in Taejun, provided primarily through the generosity of the First Presbyterian Church in Greenville, Alabama. Ron and Kathy Ellis, PCA missionaries from the Briarwood Church, are seen sharing Christ's love with a farmer in the Kangnung area of Korea, where they have been laboring to help the Nationals plant churches. Newly appointed PCA missionaries Archie and Glenda Moore recently arrived and will be living and studying in the Tejon area. Archie is a member of the Mississippi Valley Presbytery, and Glenda from Augusta's First Church. Two more couples have been approved and are itinerating: Gary and Carol Nant from Lodi, California, and Phil and Mimi Henderson from Stanley, North Carolina. The education of their children is a heavy burden to all missionaries on the field. Praise God for those who realize this and come to help. Such a one is Nancy Boyce of Asheville's Trinity Church, who is teaching at the Korea Christian Academy. Now, there's one more exciting group I want you to meet. They are our latest PCA appointees, just approved at the meeting in May. Meet, from left to right, Jenny Wilson from the New Hope Church in Abbeville, South Carolina, on her way to Mexico. Dick and Mary Jane Teague from Opelika, Alabama, are on their way to Nigeria. Jim and Nancy Thrasher from Fairfield Church in Pensacola are on their way to New Guinea. Then there's David and Ruth Clopton from the Boca Raton Church, whose assignment has not been finalized. And Tim and Becky McCown from the Covenant Church in Colombia, who will be going to Ecuador. And finally, Mrs. Mary Jane Wilburn, who will be going to Italy in cooperation with Greater Europe Mission. How excited we are about this group of God's provision for the ongoing ministry of mission to the world. The Thrashers and the Teagues have taken early retirement to do this work to which they're going. This concludes our brief tour, but this is not all the PCA is doing in the world. In Korea, we are involved in reclaiming thousands of acres of land from the sea that will in turn produce food for thousands of people. In other areas, we are helping the victims of disaster to dig out and rebuild. In the name of Christ, we are giving food to starving and needy people and seeking relief for intense human suffering. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, there is another problem that haunts us. That's the problem of the 2.4 billion people in our world who, for all practical purposes, are hidden from the message of the gospel. Some are hidden by their religious systems, some by intense national or racial pride, some by affluent economic materialism, and others by their pagan superstition. These are the persons to whom our Lord has sent us, persons who will perish in an eternal hell unless they hear the gospel and believe in God's Son, the only Savior. How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? We must work the works of Him that sent us while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work.
Thank you, Kennedy. We appreciate your putting this presentation together for us and the tour around the world. If we all get over our jet lag now, we can come back to Grand Rapids and hear from our coordinator. You know, we're privileged to work with a man like Paul McCoyne. Paul has 14 years of on-the-field missionary experience with overseas crusades. He was a member of their team in Sao Paulo, Brazil, the neighboring giant southwest of Rio, to which we hope to send this team of four men that you saw in the presentation. They're going to Rio. Paul was in Sao Paulo. Paul, prior to his service as coordinator of Mission to the World, was one of our consultants. He and John Kyle kind of changed hats. John Kyle, of course, was our first coordinator for about 4 years. Now John continues as a consultant to us, and Paul changed from being our consultant to now being our full-time coordinator. Paul McCoyne it is who is leading us as a committee of mission to the world, and therefore us as an assembly of Presbyterian Church in America, in the areas primarily of strategy. John Kyle and the early committees did such an excellent job of taking us from zero to a tremendous world missions program, which you've just witnessed. But Paul McCoyne it is whom the Lord has sent us at this particular time in our history to guide us in the areas of management, of planning, of evaluation, and of accountability. And I, as the chairman of the committee, very much appreciate the gifts that God has given to Paul McCoyne in these areas, and the way that Paul is willing to lay down his life for the PCA mission to the world and make those gifts available. And so as we've seen from Kennedy Smart where we are in the world and what we're doing, we will now hear from Paul McCoyne of where we're going and a little look at the future. Our coordinator, Paul McCoyne.
Thank you, Pete. It's been a privilege to serve the PCA this last year, and I've enjoyed visiting many of the places that Kennedy showed. You know, we often say, what's in a number? My wife is about ready to turn 40. Now, I don't know what 40 is, how 40 is any different than 39. And yet it has a significance. And Kennedy has mentioned a number which, to us in missions, has great significance. And that number is 2.4 billion. These are people who have absolutely no chance of hearing the good news of God's grace. They're broken down into certain major groups. They're broken down in the Chinese group, some 800 million people, the Islamic group of 600 million, the Hindu group of 500 million, and then the tribal peoples and other groupings of our world representing 500 million people, a total of 2.4 billion. For these people, missions is farther away today than it was for people in the time of William Carey. But there's another fact that haunts us, and that's the fact that 80% of these people are outside the limits of U.S. expatriate missionary personnel. We have no way of reaching the 800 million Chinese. It's very difficult to get to many of those 600 million Islamic peoples. American missionaries cannot get into India. And so what is the answer that we in the PCA in Mission to the World have had to explore? And I'd like to share with you just briefly some of the things that we have talked about and considered in the Committee of Mission to the World during this last year. One, we want to be involved in the support of PCA people in strategic ministries. While we can't go to China, those transmitters you saw at ACJB can broadcast the message over geographic barriers and over political barriers. That's exciting. The strategic support of men who fly the airplanes, run the computers that have cut the translation time of the gospel in many tribes in half. These types of ministry we want to support. We also want to be involved with church planting teams in unreached, high-potential areas of the world. Many of the places that we're involved in church planting are places that have the potential to be third-world mission stations. We're working with unreached people, people that have been neglected by and large by the churches of their own nations and the churches of the world. We're working with high-potential people, people that are responsive to the good news of God's grace as they hear it, and people who have resources in terms of men and money to take up the challenge of foreign missions. The day that we as North Americans could think about winning the world is over. But thank the Lord Jesus and thank God, there are multitudes of men and women across our world that have the potential for taking up the task and joining with us. Also, we want to be involved in probing to discover new areas of effective ministry. We want to see mission to the world on the cutting edge of what God is doing in foreign missions. And we want to be involved in investing financially in critical impact opportunities for world evangelization. The two major thrusts of our ministry are number one and two. Number three and four are very, very small in terms of commitment of of time and effort, but very important if we're going to stay at the forefront of what's happening in missions today. I thought, just to give us a perspective, I'd share with you where we've come from just in one slide. We see here at this point that Mission to the World has grown from 13 missionaries in 1973 till the end of 1977. We had reached 125 missionaries. Today we have between 146 and 148, depending upon when we conclude a short-term assignment. That is something that only God could have done. In finances, the Lord has increased our giving from in 73, just about nothing, to 74, a little over $500,000, 75, $750,000, 76, over $1 million, and last year, almost $1.5 million the Lord gave through you to the Committee of Mission to the World and on to a world that needs to hear the good news. This is a chart that I'm very pleased with because it shows that though we have grown dramatically in our missionary force and in our financial commitment to world evangelization, we've been able to keep the operational and administrative cost to a minimum. And this line represents the growth in administrative costs. Well, as we look at the future, what do we think of? What do we envision? As we look at our personnel goals for 1982, which is a good, I think, block of time to think, I remember reading that Peter Drucker said that plans that covered more than 5 years were nothing more than pure conjecture anyway. We have thought and come up with a pretty tightly reasoned argument that says that the PCA by the end of 1982 could have 253 missionaries. We envision these missionaries arranged in the following way. 60 of them will be short-term and 193 of them will be career missionaries. As arranged according to tasks, we find that 125 of them will be involved in direct church planting. 40 of them will be involved in religious education, as you saw in the case of Woody LaHara and Peter Jones and others. 15 of them will be involved in Bible translation. 45 of them will be involved in the technical aspects that have to do with the running of the transmitters and the computers and the airplanes and all of the different and very complex activities that have a part of missions today. 20 of them will be involved in Christ College. And 10 of them will be national leaders who will be on a project basis serving with Mission to the World. I find it very exciting in working with these figures because it enables us to begin to set some concrete growth and goal projections for the future. Right now, we have in church planting 48 career missionaries. 45 of our people are in support or technical areas. 17 of our people are involved in religious education. 13 of our people are at Christ College. And 7 of our people are in Bible translation. Projecting our goals from the base of 250 missionaries, we would like to see at the end of 1982, 125 of our missionaries involved in church planting. The other significant area of growth would be in the area of religious education, which is more than ever important as we begin to develop the strength of national churches around the world. In the other areas, we feel that we have a good ministry and we want to maintain our strength, but we do not see significant growth. What does that mean in terms of dollars and cents? Because until it gets to money, it's somewhat meaningless. If we look at total expenditures projected for the end of the year 1982, of total expenditures, we want to see 47% of our finances going into church planting, 11% into religious education, 2% into translation, 8% into technical ministries, 5% into Christ College, 2% for the support of nationals, 10% for world opportunities and projects, and 15% for administration. That 10% for world opportunities includes things like world relief. In terms of programmed expenditures, taking the projects out and taking administration out, 59% of our resources will be allocated directly to church planting, which we feel is a response to the directions of the General Assembly. 15% in religious education, 3% in translation, 15% in technical areas, and 7% in Christ College. Now, what does that mean for us eminently? I can remember in my first General Assembly as a member of the PCA, people were talking and praying that God might send us church planting evangelists. We were frustrated as a committee because these men were not coming forward. And yet in the last 2 years, God has sent us many of these men. You and your presbyteries have sought out men and have commissioned them and sent them to mission to the world. In September of 1978, 72% of our itinerating missionaries, numbering 32, will be involved in direct church planting. And only 28% of those itinerating will be involved in all other ministries. This is a motive of praise to our Lord and praise to the congregations and presbyteries of the PCA that have set us these people. But it also is a challenge. There are many in the PCA who have said, we feel the priority should be church planting. This will give you and your churches and in your presbyteries a unique opportunity to support those men that you've sent us, and we need that support. I have one final slide, and that's it, and I'll conclude my remarks. There's a passage that has meant a lot to me. It's been, I guess, the story of all of our life. It's Isaiah, the 54th chapter. In some ways, as we look back on our church history, we see that we were partially barren. And we realize that verse 2 and 3, as never before, is part of the challenge that God has given us. He's saying to us, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out on the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities. And this is our cry to God, that as we spread out as a denomination, as we answer the challenge to reach out to those 2.4 billion, that God would fill that tent, those enlarged and stretched out curtains and those deeply driven stakes, with multitudes of people that will result not only from our own ministry, but will result from the ministry of producing men and women all around this world that take as seriously the Great Commission as we do. Thank you very much.
When the Mission to the World started with the PCA back in 1973-74, we really didn't start from ground zero. Mission to the World became the recipient of the assets and the ministry and the work of an organization whose abbreviation spells ECHO. Some of you like me may not know what ECHO means. The initials ECOE mean Executive Commission on Overseas Evangelism. And the missionary evangelist of ECHO at the time of the formation of the Presbyterian Church in America was that Choctaw Indian chief whom you saw trying to weasel the lady out of her pottery up here, named Jimmy Lyons. And Jimmy Lyons has continued with Mission to the World as our missionary evangelist. And Jimmy Lyons, along with Kennedy Smart, is the one who comes into your church to speak at your missions conference and to help you challenge your people in these areas of world evangelization. Jimmy Lyons challenges us as a committee. Jimmy Lyons challenges me as an individual. And we are happy to have this former pastor of the Swannanoa Presbyterian Church in Swannanoa, North Carolina, to wrap up this Mission to the World presentation. We've seen through Kennedy Smart's words and slides where we are in the world. We've seen and heard through the eyes and the mouth of Paul McCoy where it is we expect to be going in the next 5 years. And now we'll share with Jimmy Lyons something about how we're going to do it.
Thank you, Pete. Brethren, we are still alive. We are together, and by the grace of God, we are seeing the development of a significant mission to the world. They said, whoever they is, and I quote, The PCA cannot have a significant mission to the world. Those people are a bunch of malcontents. They can't get along with anybody, much less themselves. Give them a year or two, three or four at the most. They'll tear each other to pieces. Well, we're right at 4.5 years old now, and we're alive, and we're still together, and by the grace of God, we're seeing the development of a significant mission to the world. Of course, it's true, we don't have many totally sanctified saints in our midst. There are times when we can be uncommon ornery with one another, and I'm including myself in that confession. We're quite a mix, you know. We've wondered at times if we have the resources to meet all our needs. We need a strong program of Christian education. If we try to evangelize at home or abroad without a strong program of Christian education, we won't be making disciples. We'll be leading our generation to commit suicide by jumping into barrels of Jergens lotion. We won't drown. We'll just soften to death. And at the same time, we need a strong church here at home in our mission to the United States. And that need has never been greater than it is now, and we're seeing it develop. But can that need really be met? And again, at the same time, not in place of, not after all other needs have been met, at the same time, we need to reach out to all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to, if we would be obedient to the Savior's command. Can that need be met? Yep, we've been wondering at times if we really had the resources to meet all these pressing needs. You know, brethren, some of these days, we are going to stop asking those questions, and we are going to start to lay hold of the answer. It is true, as it is written, in the holy, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is written in Philippians 4, the 19th verse, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus." Do you notice? Not just some of our needs, all. And not according to your resources, but according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And you know something else, brethren? We're seeing those needs being met, both at home and abroad. Oh, we haven't had a smooth path by any means. I don't know as anybody has a right to expect it. I don't really think we do. But we're seeing needs met in remarkable ways. Do you know, and the authority for this, by the way, is the nearly infallible, inerrant 1977 yearbook. Do you know that last year in 1977, the Presbyterian Church in America disbursed nearly $26 million of dollars? Did you know that? Mercy, 5 years ago, we didn't have a nickel. And last year in 1977, we disbursed nearly $26 million of dollars. Last year, I think you ought to know that our investment, by the way, in our overseas work amounted to just about 4 pennies out of the dollar. That hardly seems excessive, does it? Is that too much after we spend 96 cents out of the PCA dollar on ourselves? Is 4 pennies too much? Is that even the right question? Is that enough? And say, have you ever wondered where that 4 pennies comes from out of the PCA dollar for mission to the world? I'd like you to know. It doesn't come from everybody.
As a matter of fact, in 1977, of the more than 450 churches and missions of the PCA, 32% didn't give anything. I'd like to run that by you one more time in case you were sitting there and it just went by and you didn't catch it. Of the more than 450 churches and missions of the PCA in 1977 this past year, 32% didn't give anything. The 4% of the PCA dollar that goes to missions of the world is provided for the most part through about half our denomination's churches. Are they all large and wealthy churches? Are they all big churches with wealthy people? No. No, they surely are not. As a matter of fact, I'd like you to meet them right now. I'm going to ask some of you men to stand. And let me say to the rest of the assembly, they didn't know they were going to be asked to stand, and they don't know why. They didn't even know beforehand, before this minute, that they would be called on. But will you, men whose names I call, will you please stand as I call your name, and will you please remain standing for a special reason? From the Presbytery of Assertion, from the Presbytery of Ascension, the Faith Church of Akron, Ohio, Carl W. Bogue, Jr. Will you stand, please, sir? Please be quick and remain standing. And the elders from your church, too. From Calvary Presbytery, the Powell Church of Spartanburg, South Carolina, Jack Giddings and your elders, will you stand, please? From the Carolina Presbytery, the Carolina Presbyterian Church of Locust, North Carolina, R. Thomas Cheeley, will you stand and your elders, please? From Central Florida, the Faith Church of Gainesville, Florida, Laurie Vidal, will you stand, please, Laurie, and your elders? From Central Georgia Presbytery, Baraka Church of Augusta, Georgia, Don C. Sherrow, will you stand, please, Don, and your elders? I don't know that all these men, there he is. From the Covenant Presbytery, the Houston Presbyterian Church of Houston, Mississippi, Charles E. Champion, will you and your elders stand, please? From Eve Angel Presbytery, Clayton Presbyterian Church of Clayton, Alabama, James Dodson and your elders, will you stand, please? From Grace Presbytery, the First Church of Picayune, Mississippi, Billy G. Combs and your elders, will you stand, please? From Gulf Coast Presbytery, the Concord Church of Gulf Breeze, Florida, William A. Fox, Jr. and your elder, will you stand, please? From Louisiana, the Jackson Street Church of Alexandria, Louisiana, Robert B. Vincent and your elder, will you stand, please, sir? From Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, the New Covenant Church of Virginia Beach, Virginia, Robert C. Shoof, will you stand, please, sir, and your elders? From Mississippi Valley, it's the Delhi Church of Delhi, Louisiana, Paul Lipe, will you and your elders stand, please? From New River Presbytery, the Covenant Church of St. Albans, West Virginia, Rod S. Mays, will you and your elders stand, please? From North Georgia Presbytery, the Chestnut Mountain Church, Chestnut Mountain, Georgia, Robert D. Fittler and your elders, will you stand? From Pacific Presbytery, please. From the Covenant of Sangre de Cristo, from Los Alamos, New Mexico, Wayne A. Bucktell and your elders, will you stand? From Southern Florida Presbytery, from the Covenant Church of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Daniel D. Schultz, will you stand, please, sir? And your elders, from the Presbytery of Tennessee Valley, the Westminster Church of Louisville, Kentucky, Michael R. Williams, will you stand, please, and your elders? From the Presbytery of Texas, the Fifth Street Presbyterian Church of Tyler, Texas, will you stand, Dan McCown, and your elders, please? Where's Dan? There you go, Dan, right back in the corner, right. And from Warrior Presbytery, from the Covenant Church of York, Alabama, Charles Young, will you stand, and your elders? from the Western Carolinas Presbytery, the Swannanoa Valley Presbyterian Church, Swannanoa, North Carolina, Wayne Rogers, will you and your elders stand, please? And from the Presbytery of Westminster, the Fellowship Presbyterian Church of Newland, North Carolina, Philip Evall, will you and your elders please stand? Now, while you're standing, I want to say to the rest of the assembly that the largest membership represented by these presbyters is 447. The smallest membership of these churches is 12, 1-2. A significant number have memberships of between 30 and 40. The average is something over 100 members. Now I want to tell you, brethren, why I've asked you to stand, because I believe your peers, your fellow presbyters of the General Assembly, will want to express their appreciation to you too. Some of you are ministering to people very poor in this world's goods. Some of you are intensely Calvinistic. Some of you are vigorously evangelistic. And some of you are a very happy mixture of both. Some of you have started from scratch as organizing pastors. Some of you are going right now through deep waters. I know you are. Deep waters and many trials. Some of you have thought your ministry just wasn't very significant. Now listen, listen, brethren. You're a big part of the reason the PCA is still alive and still together, and with all our work at home, still has a significant mission to the world with 148 missionaries in 24 nations of the world. Because of what you are believing and seeing God do through you and your people for mission to the world, you have the highest per capita giving in your presbyteries. You are showing the rest of us the way. You are number one in the General Assembly. Thank you, brethren, and God bless you, everyone. I believe it's appropriate for the committee to say to all of you, as the Apostle Paul said of the Philippians, we thank our God upon every remembrance of you. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee with all our hearts for thy love to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank thee with all that within us is, that in that love thou hast given us a place in thy kingdom, and thou hast called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heavenly Father, we just can't hardly take in what you've done with us over these past years. To thee be the glory. We thank thee that we've had a part. We ask thy mercy and thy forgiveness when our vision has sometimes grown dim and our hearts somehow cold and our ears dull of hearing. O God, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Lift us up to see the fields white already with harvest here at home, with the neighbor near at hand, and to those faraway places with the strange-sounding names. Give us courage in thee and great faith in thee. And let us go on to hasten the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ask it in that name that is above every name. And we believe. We thank thee in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks of the General Assembly to the presentation, to the committee for the presentation, and you made it within 30 seconds of your allotted hour, Mr. Lyons. While the tables are being moved back into place, and I hope someone has that in mind, in order that the stated clerk may have a place to sit as well as a few other things. Paul, do you and Jimmy, anybody got in mind moving some things up here? While that is being done, a couple of matters, please. The moderator wishes to appoint a committee on thanks. A chairman of this committee will be teaching elder Bernard Kuiper. Other members will be teaching elder Lynn Downing and ruling elder Dwayne Harder. Must I repeat those three names? Bernie, are you here? No. Teaching elder Bernard Kuiper, teaching elder Lynn Downing, and ruling elder Dwayne Harder. May I suggest that upon recess this morning, Bernie, you meet your committee just to identify them right here at the front of the platform. Two committees are asking to be excused at this time. Mr. Clerk, do you want to...
Mr. Moderator, I have a request for excuse, and I will just make the motion that we excuse the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business and the Permanent Committee on Conference Center to meet at this time. That's the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business and the Permanent Committee on Conference Center. Move that they be excused to meet at this time in their regular rooms. Mr. Moderator, I so move.
Motion has been made. Is there a second? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Those committees are excused. In advance of the consideration of the business of the Committee on Mission to the World, in order to save time, I'm going to suggest that we handle the balance without objection. If there's objection, we will not. We handle the balance of the report of the Committee on Administration, which includes the matter of parliamentarians, before we get down to business that may require the services of such people. Is there any objection to having that business transacted before we go into the business of the Committee on Mission to the World? Mickey, are you present?
Back to 16.
Mickey Bolas? Microphone 16. Are you ready with the rest of your report?
Mr. Moderator, they are running it off now, and we're waiting for them to send it over. It hasn't gotten here. I could give it orally, but it would be better if the men could see it.
Mr. Clerk, would there be any Would there be any objection to the appointment of these parliamentarians in advance of that report?
If the Assembly does not object, and if they would assume that they will be passing this a little later on, I think we could go ahead and simply appoint them, sir.
Mr. Moderator, Roland Travis is going to the Copy Center to see if it's ready right now.
Well, we're trying to save time so the Commission of the World can have all its allotted time. Do you want to mention those names, Mr. Clerk, or do you want me to?
Mr. Moderator, I have consulted with a couple of men, or three or four men, actually, but I think that I have one man who is particularly ready right now, and maybe we could name others a little later. I would like to ask that we appoint Reggie Hill to serve as assistant parliamentarian now, and we can perhaps get the others later, sir. He's from Calvary Presbytery.
This would be by appointment, wouldn't it? Election.
Technically, according to Roberts, it is by appointment. Our rules, when we adopt them, will call for the election. But I think if we wanted to do it this way right at this point, we could simply appoint them.
Without objection, if there's no objection, then the moderator will appoint Reggie Hill as assistant parliamentarian. Any objection? I see none. I see no one at the microphone. Mr. Committee Chairman, I believe we are ready for the business of the Committee on Mission to the World. Are you ready? No.
Mr. Moderator, Dan Moore is over at the Copy Center obtaining the copies to be distributed here for us.
I don't believe I've heard from, but they should be here at any moment. If the report is not ready, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that we should proceed to a consideration of it.
Mr. Moderator.
All right, let me find out what we have at microphone 13 first.
Mr. Moderator, I'm David Justly, Mississippi Valley Presbytery and Chairman of the General Assembly's Theological Examining Committee. We're scheduled to give a report at 1:30 this afternoon, but I'm prepared to give it now if the court so desires or if you desire.
It's short. While I was waiting for you to say that, Mickey Buller said he could go ahead with his report. So if the Committee on World Mission of the World has not yet have its papers, by the time Mickey gets through, then I'll call on you for yours. Mr. Buller?
Officer Brevin, if you'll turn in your supplement to page 110. Just under the budgetary figures, you'll see recommendation number 9 of the permanent committee. This will be handed to you in print just as soon as it's from the copy center. Recommendation number 9 of the permanent committee reads, the clerk shall nominate persons to serve as recording clerks, assistant clerks, and assistant parliamentarians. After opportunity is given for other nominations, the assembly shall elect the necessary assistants for the state clerk's office. The expenses of these assistants shall be borne by the Assembly. The Committee of Commissioners recommends to the Assembly the approval of this recommendation from the Permanent Committee.
You move?
We so move.
Motion from the Committee of Commissioners through the Chairman as automatically seconded. Microphone number 7. Microphone 7.
I'm Jim Moore from Covenant Presbytery. General Roberts, in his rules, which we have adopted as the rules of procedure for this assembly, indicates that many times the moderator will know better about parliamentary procedure than anyone the body may elect. And therefore, it should be the moderator's prerogative to appoint his own parliamentarian and assistant parliamentarians. Now, this will set up a contradiction with General Roberts if it's passed. I hope it will be defeated.
I see no one at any microphone. I presume we are ready to vote. You know, you have heard the recommendation. Does it need to be repeated?
Anyone need to have it repeated?
I'm going to call, I beg pardon?
It's printed on page 110.
Call attention to that one more time, Mickey.
It's printed on page 110 in your handbook, recommendation 9, subsection 1-2.
This comes to you with the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners. I'm going to call for the vote. All in favor of this recommendation, please hold up your hand. That's it. All opposed to this recommendation, please hold up your hand. The moderator is in doubt. All in favor of this recommendation, please stand. Be seated. All opposed to this recommendation, please stand. Recommendation carries. Thank you.
Oh, you need two-thirds?
This is an amendment of the rules.
If this is an amendment of the rules, we need two-thirds. We're going to have to count. Will the tellers please come forward? All those who are in favor of the recommendation, will you please stand and remain where you are until the count has been completed? Please do not move around. Please do not move around. If you're not standing in the area occupied by commissioners, you're not supposed to be counted. People up in the balcony ought not to be counted. We'll allow it this time, but from henceforth, on a counted vote, if you're in the balcony, step to the floor if you want to be counted. Will you be seated? All of those who are up